Thank you very much, Gareth. That's great. Oh, thank you. So just to confirm, I'm definitely not the fire breather, and you're definitely not just the pile of soggy. Jesus is the fire breather. He's the one who baptizes with the Holy Spirit. We all need him. Without him, we are lifeless and dead. But with him, we come alive. And today is an incredible day. Very impressive use of the word juxtaposition in your prayer, right, Gareth. It's an incredible day of bringing together the news at the beginning of today with the truth we proclaim today on the day of Pentecost, that God loves this world so much that he poured his very self out so that every single person could know his love. And one of the ways that we have to hold that together, and one of the challenges for us today as God's people, is that God wants to reveal his love to everyone. But for so many people, when they turn on the news today, when they experience it more close at hand, if they've been touched by this in some way, the challenge for them to believe in a God of love is enormous. And the risk of them misinterpreting this world as a loveless world, as a dark world, as a world without hope and dominated by evil, is a great risk. And the challenge is that God has chosen you and me to be his representatives, to be his ambassadors, to be the people that witness to him and to share him with the world around us. And somehow God wants to use you to reveal the truth that he does love us, that he is present in this world, that he hasn't abandoned us. He's come and borne that pain on the cross, and he's overcome it, and there is hope because of Jesus. And yet that's not an easy thing for us to do. That's the challenge that faces us as the people of God at this time. And that's why the Holy Spirit was poured out. So I'm not going to read the reading now. I'm going to just read three passages as I go through what I share. But we're going to look at how the Holy Spirit helps us in mission. So if we could have the first of my slides up, that would be great. I don't know how astute you are at social media. I try my best, but my daughters, who are 16 and 18, just mock my attempts. Apparently, I just break all the rules. There are different rules in the world of social media than there are in the world that we live. And so how you use emojis, how do you use those things, even if you know what they are? When do you sign your name? When do you not sign your name? What do you actually put, and what is an appropriate post on one of these different forums? And of course, the rules are completely opposite, because if you acted like you did online, the way you did in the world, people again would think you were very strange. Online, you are expected and encouraged to follow complete strangers. If you did that every day of your life, you would get arrested. Online, you're encouraged to poke people. You're encouraged to unfriend people without telling them. You're encouraged to share things and to promote yourselves. You're encouraged to go up to somebody and just say, "I like what you've just said." And again, if you acted like this in your daily life, you wouldn't do very well. But online, these are the rules. All of those platforms that are on the screen, Facebook and Snapchat and Instagram, which I've been living on because my 18-year-old daughter has been in South Africa and it's the only way I get any news at all, all of these have a unique factor, and that is that they are words and images that both accompany the other. In fact, on Snapchat, you can only write your words if you post an image, which is why you see lots of young people pouting at their screen all the time, because they're having to have an image in order to produce their Snapchat post every 10 minutes. God has been in the business of word and image for a long time. In fact, he began creation, really. Creation is his representation of himself in so many different ways. But he is in the business of revealing himself to this world through word and image. And the Holy Spirit has been sent to enable us as his people to participate and partner with him in this ministry of word and image, of proclamation and demonstration. And so three passages just to look at very briefly as we do this. From John chapter 15, John prepares his disciples and says the Holy Spirit is going to come, and this is how he describes him. When the Advocate comes, whom I will send from the Father, the Spirit of truth who goes out from the Father, he will testify about me. And you also must testify, for you have been with me from the beginning. The Greek word is paraclete for advocate. In the King James Version, it was translated as comforter, but that really meant a counselor, somebody who came to represent you, somebody who came to help you, not somebody who just gives comfort. The Holy Spirit gives comfort. But Jesus is describing somebody who is in a legal context saying, I'm going to send somebody who's going to represent me to the world. He is going to come as the Spirit of truth, and he will testify. He will be my legal representative. He will be the one who speaks on my behalf in this world. That is what the Holy Spirit has come to do. And you will also testify because you've been with me. So here we see this picture of a partnership. The Holy Spirit is sent. Why, said Jesus? So he can testify to the truth of who Jesus is. And we are called, as those who know Jesus, to testify, as example by the first disciples. When we then see Jesus' promise in Acts chapter 1, he again emphasizes this legal representation. You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses to Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. Holy Spirit is being sent. He's sent to give people power. He's sent to give the power to the people who are partnering with him. Why? So that they can witness, so they can tell the story. So that you and I can tell the story of Jesus in our lives. The really good news about that is that we're not the prosecuting counsel. We're not the person who is in charge of representing God completely. That's the Holy Spirit. Our role is to be witnesses. We just say what we've seen. We just tell what God has done. We just share what Jesus has done in our lives. And that's what we're called to do in the power of the Holy Spirit. So he's sent to testify, he empowers us to testify as Jesus' witnesses. And then in Hebrews chapter 2, we have just a little verse that describes this is what is happening in the world. The salvation which was first announced by the Lord was confirmed to us by those who heard him. God also testified to it by signs, wonders, and various miracles, and by gifts of the Holy Spirit, distributed according to his will. Just to unpack that for a moment. The salvation is initiated by Jesus Christ, the Lord. He announced it. He declared it. How did Jesus do that? He did it by word and by demonstration, by the miraculous. Then it was confirmed to us by those who had heard him. Those first disciples did their job. They did exactly what the Holy Spirit was given to them to do, which was to witness to Jesus and say, this Jesus is the one who has done all of this for you. And they did what the Holy Spirit sent to empower them. How did they do it? Well, they confirmed it, but God with them also testified to it by signs, wonders, and various miracles. So God is testifying it to it, the same word that Jesus uses in order to say the Holy Spirit would testify. How does he do that? He does it by words and the miraculous. So when you hear about testimony and hear about God sending the Spirit to testify, to be the advocate, we need to hear testify as word and demonstration. And then finally, the writer to the Hebrews, it then says, and now by the gifts of the Holy Spirit distributed according to his will. The Holy Spirit is present in all of us, and he continues his testifying work by giving gifts to us to demonstrate his presence and to reveal Jesus to the world around us. The Holy Spirit has been sent in order to empower us to say the words and do the things that will reveal Jesus to the world around us. That's why he's been sent. Now, I want to say a couple of things about why it's so important that we grasp this. I think the first reason why this is so important is because otherwise we look at the work of the Spirit, we look at the gifts of the Spirit, And we can have a little bit of a question and confusion around them in saying, okay, so they're given to us and they're great, but what is this about? Why do we need to do this stuff? It's all so weird. You know, we have to speak in this strange language called tongues, and we have to hear from God, and we have to speak it out, and we have to pray, and we have to expect the power of God to come. And people find this difficult. So why are we doing this? If we just see it as for ourselves, and the Spirit is definitely for you and for me because God loves us. But if we just see him for us, then actually it can be very easy for us to say, I can take it or leave that. That doesn't suit me. I don't fancy that. That's a little too risky for me. That's a little too much. That's for certain people. It's really easy to do that if it's just for me, because then it's a take it or leave it offer from God. I want to say that if you and I are going to reveal a supernatural God to the world around us, we need a supernatural power within us. Too long the church in this country, not around the world, but in this country, has believed that all we need to reveal Jesus to the world is words. And quite often words that actually we've created in very clever ways, and it's our systems and our programs. And yet, what the writer of the Hebrews is saying, every act of God in mission has always been about the power of God through Jesus first as the Word empowered by the Spirit, the early disciples, the Word empowered by the Spirit, and now the church empowered by the gifts of the Spirit. And that phrase where it says signs and wonders is used 6 times in the book of Acts, and it's peppered through the story of the early church, in which the early church didn't know a church that was not both proclaiming the word and demonstrating it through signs and wonders. And yet for so long in our land, we have believed it is possible to represent Jesus Christ just by our own human words and intellect. And I want to say that in our nation today, that may have worked in the past, but it won't work anymore. Because those social media sites show us something about our culture. They say that actually we are moved by image. We're moved by what we see. We're moved by and understand things by watching them and looking at them. People aren't after just an argument and a detailed exposition and proof that of Jesus' existence and all that he's done. Some people are, and I think it's still really important that we can do that apologetic and show that the Christian faith is reasonable. But the reality is that most people are not looking to decide whether they think your view of the world is right or their view of the world is right. They're looking for what works. They're looking to find their way through life in a way that somehow makes sense of this world and somehow deals with the stuff in their life day by day. And that is going to take more than words. So when you hear about the Holy Spirit being poured out, when you hear about today on the day of Pentecost that has been given for you and for me and that we need to be filled with the Holy Spirit, I want to say to you, it's not a take it or leave it offer just for you. It's a gift from God for his glory and for the salvation of the world. And that is why we need to be people of the Spirit, so that we can carry the presence of God into our workplaces, into our homes, into our families, so that we are not just of ourselves showing ourselves and our personal faith, but we're carrying God's presence. For me, this is something that I really believe that God is teaching the church. And because we've been in a model of church that has been very different and that has been formed on a certain set of principles that we don't have time for now, but now have changed dramatically because of the change of our culture, we need to learn how to become again the people of God in the power of the Holy Spirit, being led by the Spirit on mission with God. That is what God is trying to teach the church, not just here at Little Over Methodist Church, not just at Holy Trinity Leicester, but across the nation. This is what God is saying. He says you need to learn how to become the disciple-making movement in the power of the Spirit that you were always created to be. But we've grown up in a church that's lost how to do that. So we have to learn. Now, as Christians, we are disciples. And being a disciple of Jesus Christ is about learning. Now, as adults, we don't like to learn. We like to learn when we were little kids. But we don't like to learn as adults because we like to give the impression that we've got it all sorted and that we know how to live our lives. So just a little illustration. I've got two daughters. One of my daughters is Alice. She wasn't a great walker. So we were always trying to encourage her to walk. And so Bridget, my wife, would sit on one chair and I'd sit on another one. And one of us would hold little Alice when she was learning to walk. And we'd hold her and we would say, "Come on, Alice, come on, walk to Daddy." And Bridget would let go of her and she'd walk a little bit and then she'd fall over. Quite often she'd just sit down, actually, because she was lazy. And so after we'd done that the first time, guess what we did when she fell over or sat down? Do you know what we did? We said, "You know, we've got a non-walker. We've got a child that's never, ever going to walk. What a shame. We're going to have to spend the rest of our lives compensating for the fact that Alice is never, ever going to walk." Of course we didn't do that. What we did was we said, "Come on, Alice, get up, have another go. Let's have another try at walking." And guess what? She's 16 now, she walks very well. We didn't stop after one failure. I want to say that for the church as a whole, but for you as an individual, the way that you grow as a disciple is by trying something and failing. But we don't like that as adults. We were fine as kids. But as adults, we go, "I don't want to do anything that I can't guarantee I'm going to be good at. I like to be in control." And so I want to say that if we as a church and you as an individual are going to grow in the life of the Spirit, you're going to have to be willing to take a little step out and to be willing to fall over occasionally or sit down and hear God say, "Try again." Because I want to say that everybody who has grown in the work of the Spirit has not got it all on day one and it's all sorted on day one. They were just people who were willing to grow and take another step at each stage. So I want to say finally just something about how this happens. The up, in, and out are the three relationships you and I have in God. We have an upward relationship with God. We have an inward relationship with one another as the people of God, the family of God. And we have an outward relationship to the world. In all of those passages I read, it described that the first thing that happens in our life when anything of God happens is it starts with God. Starts with the Holy Spirit. My experience was when I was 17, I'd been trying to follow Jesus for about 3 years as a teenager. I got to the age of 17 and I said to him, "I can't do this anymore, God. You're going to have to do something because this is too hard. I'm giving up unless something changes." I was at the end of my rope. I was struggling with my sins. I was struggling with peer pressure. I was struggling to follow Jesus in my context as a 17-year-old. And I just cried out to God and said, "Please help me." I went to a meeting, a Youth for Christ meeting. At the end of it, I asked somebody to pray for me. I knew nothing about the Holy Spirit because the church I'd been in had not taught me about the Holy Spirit. But as somebody laid their hands on me, I felt the love of God fill me, cleanse me, wash me clean, empower me. And I knew that I was different. Totally transformed. On Monday morning, I could not stop telling my friends about Jesus. And then I began the journey in the life of the Spirit, trying to understand what it was. I asked people what it was. They explained what it was. I said, "You knew about this. You never told me about this. Why not?" And then I read a book called Chasing the Dragon by Jackie Pullinger about a young English woman who went over to the walled city of Hong Kong in order to share with those the drug addicts and the prostitutes in that drug-ridden society there. And she too had got to the end of her rope and she too had cried out and the Holy Spirit had filled her when somebody had laid hands on her. And then I read about the fact that as she prayed for other people, these prostitutes and drug addicts, they started to receive the gift of tongues and they started to hear from God and they started to see God do supernatural things through them. And as I read this, I got really cross. Because I said to God, I've been following you for 3 years. These people got it on day one. It's like they're drug addicts. They're prostitutes. How come they get all that stuff and I haven't had any of it? So I knelt on my knees in my room and I said, Holy Spirit, I know that you're with me. I would like you to give me those gifts. And by his grace, even though it's a very ungodly motivation, he gave me the gift of tongues and he began a work in me, which has seen God use me to heal the sick and to hear his voice and to see the power of God poured out. But I didn't have it all sorted on day one. It all starts with the upward relationship with God. But the second part of it was what I experienced was that I had to find people in the body of Christ who knew about this, who would encourage me and teach me and lead me on. And so I want to encourage you as a church, I know that you really already share this value, that when you gather here and when you gather in small groups, testifying about the work of Jesus, believing that he is present, praying for one another, allowing the Holy Spirit to move is absolutely vital because it causes us to have a place where we can grow up in the power of the Spirit, where we can recover what's been lost to the church, where God can lead us forward. And so it's vital that we do that when with one another because that's what the church is meant to be. Because if you don't do it with one another, I guarantee you won't do it out in the world. But that's where you're meant to do it. So the Holy Spirit works when we're present. It's wonderful and beautiful, but he's not a Christian entertainment system. He is to demonstrate the power and the glory of God is present. And so the Holy Spirit isn't just for our benefit. Sometimes I worry about us seeing God as a therapist, just solving our problems. The Holy Spirit loves you and cares for you, and he will minister to you. But he wants to empower you so that you can do this stuff out in the world. So when you're in your workplace, you can pray for somebody. When you're with your friends, you can pray for somebody. When you're in a place where people don't yet know Jesus, you can hear his voice speak to you and you can share that with others. That is what the Spirit does. I want to just finish with a couple of stories. A friend of mine, Karen, she is so nervous about all of this stuff. But we've been really going for this at Holy Trinity. And so she said this week when I was with her in a small group, she said, you're not going to believe this, John, but a work colleague shared a need. And before I could stop myself, I said, could I pray with you? I couldn't believe the words came out of my mouth. And then after I'd said it and she said yes, I then thought, oh, no. I'm now going to have to, this is exactly what she said to me on Wednesday night last week. I'm going to have to pray for her now. She prayed for her. And guess what the other person said? Her work colleague said, I think that is the first time that I've ever been in somebody else's prayers. But my life has been so terrible in the last few months that I've started to pray myself every night, wondering if God might help me. Now, isn't that amazing? The only reason that Karen ever found out any of that was because she had the courage to say, could I pray for you? With the belief that God was present in her, and as she prayed, and I missed this out, the Holy Spirit ministered to her colleague, and her colleague just cried quietly because the Holy Spirit began to touch her heart. That's what the Holy Spirit looks like when we carry him to the world and live out in the world. That's why you need to be filled with the Spirit. For yourself, for your relationship with God, there are so many other things I haven't talked about. But Jesus said it was in the context of mission that he, the Holy Spirit, would testify and that we would testify and the world would come to know him at the salvation that he has won for them. And that's what God has done in the Holy Spirit. He's given to you. He's sending you to be his representative to the people around you. There are God-prepared people around you. But unless you're willing to share something of God, to speak a word, to offer to pray, to listen to God and to share it. There's a group of Christians at Holy Trinity who hold together a group for parents of special needs children. They wanted to love and minister to these people. They have special needs children as well. And so they decided to run something of a respite care thing for them every week, where they give them coffee and pastries and papers and then look after their kids for a couple of hours. Didn't work at all. They came back and they prayed and they said, God, we really believe you are calling us to reach these people and to love these people. How should we do this? What they decided to do, they decided that they would pray for those families and they would listen to God for those families and they would go and share prophetic words with them. And they felt that God led them to this because they said, these families are without hope and the world so often devalues their children that we wanted to bring what God had to say about their children and their family to them. When they began to do that, families opened up to the love of God. They didn't reject them. They didn't laugh at them. They were moved by the profound and such relevant and hopeful words that the Holy Spirit was speaking. Now when they gather for worship, they have these children lie on a blanket and they have a piece of gauze that they wave over it. And as they wave it over them, they pray and they speak in tongues over them and they bless them and they pray for them. And the children are transformed in that moment. Children that never touch another human being have got up from that moment and hugged everyone in the room because the love of God has poured out upon these families. That's the difference that the Holy Spirit can make. It doesn't have to be something that is big and all about power. It's about love and about him using you where he's put you. Now, Gareth mocks me about my book, and rightly so. I'm very embarrassed about it as well, except that this really is what this book is about. It's about trying to live with the Spirit in mission in your everyday lives. What might that look like? The reason it's called Grace is because it's a living generously. How can you bless the people around you? Receiving and releasing God's presence wherever you are, the Holy Spirit is. How does he want to touch the people around you by his presence? Asking questions, telling stories, is just how do you speak about Jesus relevantly today? See, who are you? Who's God called you to be? You've got a unique contribution to make that's U-shaped. God wants to use you. And E is sharing your life, that when you eat with somebody and share your life with them and the Spirit is present, anything is possible if you learn how to minister his presence in that place. So if you do want to buy that, it's £8. It's a £1 discount, and none of the money goes to me. It all goes to Holy Trinity. But God has sent you to testify. He sent you as his representative. That's why you need to be filled with the Spirit.